It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands
to take you in this time to
promised lands,
to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for love me.
From somewhere out there, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, the story we've been following for the last couple of days, recurrent intelligence reports say that Al-Qaeda terrorist Abu Musab Zaqawi, now he's the one who just joined hands with Osama bin Laden, has obtained a nuclear device or is preparing a radiological explosive or dirty bomb for an attack. Now, this according to U.S. officials, who also say that analysts are unable to gauge the reliability of the information sources. The classified reports, though, have been distributed to U.S. intelligence agencies for several consecutive months and say that Zaqawi, Al-Qaeda's leader in Iraq, has stored the nuclear device or dirty bomb in Afghanistan. One official said the intelligence is being questioned because analysts think Al-Qaeda would not hesitate to use a nuclear device if it had one. However, the fact that the Defense Intelligence Agency has reported that the nuclear threat is around in several classified reports distributed since December indicates concern about it. In a moment, Douglas Hagman, Homeland Security U.S., perhaps Douglas from the Northeast Intelligence Network, can help us out with this story. Douglas Hagman is the director of the Northeast Intelligence Network. He's the CEO of Hagman Investigative Services. He has 20 years of experience performing investigations in the private sector for many Fortune 500 companies and is a well-known surveillance specialist. He is the author of Tactical Surveillance, a training manual for investigators who perform covert surveillance assignments. He has received certification in email tracing, internet profiling, threat assessment in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. He's also a graduate of the Laboratory of Forensic Science and is certified in bloodstained pattern analysis and has been used as an operational asset by federal law enforcement and various police departments. Following the attacks of 9/11/2001, Hagman began using his investigative skills and training to fight terrorism as an unpaid volunteer from the private sector, and then he established the Northeast Intelligence Network, monitoring terrorist websites so that hopefully another 9/11 could be avoided. Our guest tonight, Douglas Hagman. Douglas, this breaking story about Zaqawi possibly obtaining a nuclear device, unsubstantiated, they can't pin this down. You and Steve Quayle have been talking about something like this for several months now. What's going on?
Well, that's right, George. And again, thank you very much for having me back.
Absolutely.
And the wonderful introduction. It's interesting, as I was listening to the introduction here, and I was thinking back to the program you had with Steve Quayle about his new book and about the discussion of
suitcase nukes.
Absolutely. I think what we're seeing here is the events of the last really couple of decades coming full circle. Essentially, the story right now that is being floated by the intelligence agencies focuses primarily, and perhaps erroneously, on Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the 39-year-old Jordanian-born Palestinian who has a long association with Osama bin Laden. The fact is, we have seen as an agency numerous intelligence memos that have been recently declassified, that go back 7-8 years, and also some more current information about this particular threat. It seems, though, and I know that this was essentially broken on your program, the story about the recent threat with respect to people crossing the border into the United States from Mexico.
Yes.
Now, this story with respect to Zarqawi has, we have found, an interesting connection, just today, as a matter of fact, to that particular story. There may be something, some involvement, some level of involvement here, at least on its periphery, that the threat to Boston about the nuclear or about the radiological threat to Boston, which the federal authorities had subsequently dismissed, may have been dismissed prematurely, at least with respect to the radiological aspect of it.
Okay.
So this everything appears at the present time, looking at it, taking a step or two back, looking at all the data that has come across. Come across our desks over the past couple of years, dated back into the 90s and current. It looks like everything is more or less related, and the incidents of late are certainly curious, and the timing with respect to the announcements made by the federal government concerning these radiological devices. Now, these memos are, the more recent memos are really broad-based memos. They talk about Zarqawi having either a fissionable device, like a 1 or 2 kiloton backpack-type nuclear device.
Which is out there. They're available.
They certainly are.
Yep.
Absolutely. As Steve Quayle did a fantastic job citing and sourcing the availability of those devices. And Steve and I were talking about this, and you know, this is something that's kind of like the elephant in the room that nobody really wants to talk about, that they know it's there. These devices are there. Now, admittedly, because some are Russian-made and some are dated and some are cumbersome, and you know, it's very possible that some of these may be duds, so to speak. At best, however, they could be used for the components to a dirty bomb event, which would certainly ruin ruin a person's day if it went off in close proximity. But with the story with Zarqawi, very interesting though. It seems like the federal authorities right now, as I said, are covering all the bases that they can. I think that they're preparing the American people and even preparing our military for an event that they see coming sooner rather than later.
Now, let me ask you a twofold question as it directly relates to this, Douglas.
Sure.
One, is it possible, because, you know, the Americans are confused here. We're confused in terms of, are we going to war because we're trying to really battle terrorism? We want to get rid of these people and, you know, and clean up this world and make it a better place and a safer place for all of us. Or some people are beginning to think, you know what, this is a war of economy. This is a way to continue, profiteering of corporations who are providing the military might. We're going into other nations that can't really fight and defend themselves. And we're just festering this. And administrations have decided this is the direction we're going to take to keep our economy steaming ahead as well as we can. So there's a couple camps out there. Let me ask you this. Is it possible that all this rhetoric is not true, but merely is just something to keep us uptight, to keep us aware, because they want to keep this scenario going, this war economy going? That's question one. And then question two is, maybe it is real, and then what do we do about that?
Interesting set of questions. We have been addressing these questions over the past several weeks, we, the analysts of our network. Very interesting. I think it's a combination of a couple of things. Number one, I think that there's no question in anyone's mind that we, as an American people, have been lied to. All right, that's a rather assertive statement.
Especially coming from you, because, you know, over the past year or so, I've grown to admire you and your forthrightness about things. And for you to say that, it took you a long time to get to this point.
Well, you know, it's something that I think I don't mean to say that as an indictment against this administration.
I understand.
Primarily. But I think that we've been lied to the extent that the threats against this country have been downplayed. The threats that are out there in general have been manipulated for the gain
of a few,
exactly. And I think that is the reason why a lot of the events that are taking place right now that we're seeing, the fact that we have the borders still open 3.5 years after 9/11. Why is that? Why is it so easy for people to come across the borders? Why haven't we immediately clamped down on the borders? That's just one example of the fact that if we were deadly serious about fighting terrorism, man, I would think we would shut that barn door right now.
Well, what I found, for example, last week, President Bush was very concerned that they're going to require passports to get into this country, even Americans, to get into this country from Mexico and Canada. And he said, you know what, I want to try to do away with this. I don't like it. He signed the bill to permit it, and he wasn't even aware of that. That bothers me.
It bothers us as well. It bothers me personally as well. I think that you know, there's obviously some duplicity out there, and you know, is it a situation where the less we know, the better off we are, the better we can sleep at night? You know, to me, knowledge is power. Knowledge is, you know, replaces fear. I think that in my estimation, that the American public should be told as much as possible without compromising national security. So, you know, interesting. It's interesting how the current administration says one thing and does another, and the two don't quite jive. You know, and I think that again, this has been happening not with just this administration, but really for the past 3 decades. I think that this has been going on, or even longer than that.
If Zaqawri has one, and they say he's got it hidden away in Afghanistan, that's a long way from the United States. If he has one, don't you think he'd use it by now?
You know, we had talked about that. You would think so. But I think that there are other factors involved. If Zarqawi is not the person that is calling the shots, if there is, as I'm sure there is, state sponsorship involved in the Islamic threat. State sponsorship, by that I mean obviously Iran, and of course the big two, China and Russia, it's beyond doubt that they have their hand in the current terrorism events.
Do you believe Putin is behind this?
I think that there's a level of complicity with Putin. I mean, he's a KGB person. I don't believe for a minute that Russia is our friend, nor do I believe that China is our friend. And it's, you know, again, I think that they are heavily involved in some of the events that are taking place today, especially of late. I think that there's a lot. I think the chess pieces are being lined up intentionally on the chessboard of late. You know, you had asked the question before, why did we go to war? You know, we heard so often it was about weapons of mass destruction. Yet, you know, it seems like there's evidence of weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but the totality or the amount of those weapons are certainly nothing compared to what was said by Colin Powell at the UN. Interesting situation. So why did we go to war with Iraq? To topple a dictator, perhaps. I think, and Randy Taylor, who is one of our analysts, and I had a long discussion about this, I think that one of the largest reasons why we went to war with Iraq was strategic military positioning. I think that we needed Iraq because I think that with the upcoming battles that we are going to be engaging in, undoubtedly, I think that we need Iraq as a staging area.
And don't forget the security of the oil fields.
Well, that's obvious. Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely.
You got to mention that. Zaqawri doesn't have any money. If he's got a nuke, who paid for it?
There was there are accounts that there was an exchange of somewhere between $300 and $700 million between Osama bin Laden's associate. Now, don't forget, Osama bin Laden named Zarqawi his emir in Iran or in Iraq here several months ago,
right?
And his long association with bin Laden with respect to them fighting together in Afghanistan in the mid to late 80s. To answer your question directly, I think that the money, well, I got to tell you, a lot of the money to fund the terrorist operations comes directly from the United States, not necessarily, obviously, from the government of the United States.
How about the black budgets?
I'm not certain about that, George, to be honest with you. I wouldn't be surprised. Obviously, we helped the...
Well, we gave billions to bin Laden to fight the Soviets.
Sure.
How do we know he used all the money?
Well, we don't. And I would bet you are probably correct in that respect, that there's been money left over, or even additional money given for covert operations that has been rerouted, whether or not it's known to the authorities. I don't know, to the intelligence agencies. I'd have to believe it would be.
I'm going to read you a clause here in this story about Zaqqari and a nuclear weapon, and it says basically that they're not sure if he has one or not, but the fact that it has appeared now, this nuclear threat, in several classified reports distributed since December indicates concern. Do you believe that there are members in government who are concerned?
Yes, absolutely, without a doubt. There were a couple of... we had a discussion today with a gentleman who asked not to be identified, but I can tell you this. He is a former station chief for the Defense Intelligence Agency, who has seen these specific memos, classified documents, who knows what's going on, what's being disseminated to the public. He believes that the entire threat is being downplayed to the public and to the press, and that there's definitely the ability, or Zarqawi and company have, in fact, the components for a radiological bomb, and, in fact, they most likely have anywhere between 10 and 20, that's a low number, of operable suitcase nukes, you know, 1 to 2 to 10 kiloton type devices, some of which are in the United States.
And what is so incredible to me, and Stephen mentioned this as well, is that he believes that some of these have been disarmed in this country, but not all of them.
I believe that as well. You know, since 19... I believe it was since 1995, and I'm sure prior to that, there have been active searches by nuclear emergency search teams. As a matter of fact, I was notified earlier today, based on this series of memos that we're talking about, one in particular, that the New York, New Jersey area nuclear emergency search team has been actively looking for something. Obviously, they're not looking for, they obviously have to be looking for something nuclear in nature. Their tone has changed dramatically over the past several days.
You know that Chinese guy they picked up who was had a suitcase and they didn't know what he had, and he was on his way to the Capitol saying, I want to talk to the president. And they jumped him and they checked the suitcase and there was nothing in there. But we haven't heard much about the story. Some people are speculating, Douglas, that it might have been a test just to see how quickly our people would react to somebody walking around with a suitcase.
Interesting observation. Our military affairs expert, Sean Osborne, and I had a discussion about this right after that the tapes of that takedown were made public. It appeared staged. It appeared that, when I say staged, it appeared to be a kind of a practice run, if you will.
It did.
You know, so
the guy was just too stiff.
Exactly. As if almost expectant.
Yes.
You know, at the time. So,
like he had a stopwatch going. Well, let's see how long will it take them to come and jump me, because I'm just going to stand here and not say anything.
That's correct. Yes. And it's a very interesting, the whole scenario is interesting because obviously you can do that legitimately, you know, have practice runs, have, it's a good thing to do. We need to be prepared for the inevitable, and I think that this, you know, this whole thing, an attack is inevitable. But so it's a good thing. If it was staged, well, I guess it went well. But it certainly looked that way.
We're told that, 100 suitcase nukes from the former Soviet Union are still missing? Is that true?
Well, I'll tell you what, people argue about the number all the time. I've seen as few as 20 and as many as 80. I've seen 100 referenced. Even if
it's one.
Exactly. Even if it's one workable nuclear device, think of the psychological impact. You know, we had discussions about this. A nuclear event is definitely survivable. On the other hand, what it would do to the economy, survivable unless you're at ground zero or within a very close proximity of the blast. That does not make it any better, of course, but the psychological impact of that going off in this country would be unbelievable, as well as the economic impact to the American public. And, you know, with that type of blast, the dynamics would change dramatically. I think that there would be a lot of different things we'd be looking at. We'd be looking at, obviously, further erosion of our rights. You know, the Patriot Act now, people are saying it's very stringent. And I have to agree, after looking at it, you know, just simply having terrorist information on your computer is enough to have yourself arrested. Very disconcerting, especially when you're in the business of analyzing this information as a private citizen. You know, who knows?
That's true. Stay with us. We'll be back with you in a moment, Douglas Hagman. I'd like to talk a little bit more about Homeland Security, what's going on. What have you heard, by the way, of in camps built in this country to put Americans in there? If you've heard about that, I want to check in with you on that. In the next hour, Douglas Hagman will stay with us. We'll take your phone calls. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Miss part of the show? Listen online with Streamlink. Log on to coasttocoastam.com. On the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, while you get 14 issues for the price of 12 with the After Dark newsletter, the June issue will give you the special UFO Summer Edition. Take advantage of it. It's supposed to be a blockbuster by calling 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Or you can go right down to the bottom of the homepage of coasttocoastam.com. Click on the orange type to that secure server and get the After Dark newsletter. Douglas Hagman's website is HomelandSecurityUS.com. Douglas, I'm told that we came very close over the past couple weeks to finding Zaqqari, and he just moved on. What does your intelligence tell you?
Interestingly enough, absolutely correct. The report that we have, and this has been substantiated by government sources off the record, was that Zarqawi was stopped at a military checkpoint in Iraq. Now, this was some time ago. This was probably more than weeks, I'm going to say months ago. And apparently he was not recognized at the checkpoint and allowed to go through. But what we saw, a very interesting photograph, reportedly of Zarqawi from the shoulders up, that is, was taken, obviously, by a three-dimensional camera, a camera that would be normally used for military operations.
Mm-hmm.
And a background that was superimposed behind his image. That appears to lend credence to the story that we did, in fact, let him go. But what's interesting at this point, especially with the new reports about Zarqawi and the nuclear devices, whether they be dirty bombs or a regular device, he has not been heard from on any of the in any type of message form since the approximate time of the Iraqi elections. Many government analysts believe, off the record, that he is out of Iraq and could even be in North America somewhere. That is astounding information.
Well,
for,
that sure is.
You know, for a government official to say off the record, look, we've got no clue where he is. We're not even sure what his current appearance is, aside from this latest image, which could have he could have altered his image. But the bottom line, he could be in North America for all we know. That's or at least perhaps in Germany or the United Kingdom.
He does not seem to be suicidal himself.
No, not at all.
So he'll let somebody else do it.
Oh, sure, sure. He's the money man. As a matter of fact, he was the gentleman, or
don't call him a gentleman.
He was the terrorist who provided the weapons for the murder of Lawrence Foley, the diplomat murdered here several months
mm-hmm,
ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so no, this man, and he's a he was he trained or he was a teacher at the Afghanistan camps back in the 90s, and worked with chemical and biological weapons. Very bad individual, just a despicable.
Well, who should be feared the most right now, him or Bin Laden?
Well, between the two, I think I would be more afraid of Zarqawi, but I'd be most afraid of the Al Qaeda and Islamic radical fundamentalists that are on the loose, that really have no command and control, that are kind of in wild cards in North America. I'd be more afraid of those people, or the same people that do have a limited amount of command and control behind them. Because those are the wild cards that really no one can predict.
Are we ever going to find Osama bin Laden, Douglas?
I believe we are. Yes, I believe so. I think that our intelligence right now puts him. Now this could be a matter of convenience as well. However, again, having been lied to in the past, you've got to look at everything in
absolutely.
Government sources are saying that he's in Iran. Some have placed him in the southern provinces of China. Will we find him? I think so, but he's not going to be found. I don't think we'll ever bring him out alive. I mean, his bodyguard testified to having a couple of bullets for bin Laden in the event that his capture was imminent. He was to shoot bin Laden and paint the picture of martyrdom, going down in the heat of battle.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's definitely not going to be doing the perp walk anytime soon. I think we'll find him, but we'll find a dead person.
You know, you would think with his bounty, what is it, $50 million on his head, that or $25 million, whatever it is.
It's an incredible amount of money.
Somebody would spill the beans on where he was.
Well, I think that he has really pared down his associates. There's a very, very close group of associates. I think that there's a lot of fear instilled, with his associates. I think the way he moves about, within the areas he does. Frankly, I'm not surprised we haven't really found him, or someone hasn't turned him in either. That really doesn't surprise me at this particular point. What surprises me more, however, is the fact that he can still, at different times, get messages out to Al Jazeera and even to other locations, even onto the internet by way of places like Global Islamic Media and other outlets like that. That surprises me more than the fact that he hasn't been caught yet.
Why have these hostage beheadings slowed down dramatically since we tried to disrupt Zarqawi? What happened here?
Well, I think what happened was we had found, the military had found the locations and had really busted the locations where these beheadings were taking place. I think there's a couple of different dynamics here. I think the education of people that are being caught, people aren't just being caught at the same rate they were before. I think we've done a number on the particular. Well, for instance, Fallujah. I think we did a number in Fallujah there with the terrorists, and I also think too that the they're being executed. Bear that in mind. Executions are still taking place. but I think that the actual beheadings for logistical purposes as well have slowed down. But I do think that we are going to be seeing them, and we have seen them in spurts and sputters. They haven't stopped completely.
In February, U.S. intelligence and security officials said information showed that bin Laden had asked Zaqawi to focus future attacks on targets inside the United States. Now, to me, that demonstrates that bin Laden is the weaker of the two if he's asking Zaqawi to try to focus attacks on targets inside the United States.
Well, I agree. And I think that it sends another message, too. That hey, we've kind of lost in Iraq. The government's in place such as it is.
You've got a better organization than I do. Mine's all in disarray. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Without really necessarily underestimating either one of the capabilities of these individuals, I think that Zarqawi is probably in a better position. Of course, if he can elude a checkpoint, a military checkpoint in Iraq, I think he can do a lot of other things too. And I think Zarqawi also has a better circle of comrades or colleagues, which he can utilize as operatives.
I think Peter Luntz, if his theories are correct, a guest that we've just had on the program, that we've busted up the Ramzi Yousafs and the Khalid Sheikh Mohammeds and those people who are really responsible for what happened at the World Trade Center, the first bombing, helped mastermind 9/11. Possibly they might have been involved in the downing of TWA Flight 800. All these people who were the masterminds, who've been rounded up, who are in jail, who are in Sheikh Mohammed's case, spilling his guts out. We may have dented this pretty dramatically, Douglas.
I think we have. I think to a large extent that a lot of the major players have been identified, have been sent to Guantanamo, have been killed, have been interrogated. I think we've done a very admirable job from a military point of view in terms of going after the leadership of Al-Qaeda. But I also think that in doing so, that we've also, the unintended consequence of that is to create the hybrid of additional terrorist groups franchising out. And I think that there's, you go after one, another one springs up. It's kind of like the whack-a-mole type arcade game. It's a difficult situation. But I think you're correct. And you mentioned Flight 800, WTC, the first World Trade Center bombing, Oklahoma City. I think that we've been seeing domestic terrorism here by sponsored by Islamic radical fundamentalists. I think that all of these can be attributed to, and even and including Flight 587, I truly believe that again, this is part of being misled. I think that terrorism has been on the increase. And, when the first World Trade Center bombing took place, they had, nobody paid attention, so to speak. Oklahoma City, it was identified as domestic. And you saw a gradual increase until finally, 9/11 occurred, and finally it was like, okay, now we've got their attention. Now it's, now they know that we're playing for keeps here. So, and I think that whole, if this makes sense, but I think that whole the cadence of this is going to continue unless otherwise stopped. But yes, I think we've dented the major leadership of Al-Qaeda, but again, we have to watch where others spring up.
Speaking of springing up, have you heard that we have a number of camps, empty camps, fenced camps, ready to go to put in citizens, what have you, for any kind of reason all around this country?
I've heard that. I had talked to Kathleen Keating a number of times back in the late 1990s and prior to 9/11, and even a few weeks ago. I don't know much about those. I'm going to admit that. If they're there, I don't know where they are. I've heard that there's a large camp in upstate New York near Fort Drum, and I just don't know about those. The first thing that comes to my mind, and again, maybe this is my innocence showing through, but the first thing that comes to my mind if another event of the caliber of 9/11 or worse comes to pass, everyone who appears to be Middle Eastern in this country could very well feel the adverse effects by people who want to lash out and hurt them. And, you know, so could these camps be for American citizens arrested under the Patriot Act or just arrested, period, or taken
civil
there?
You know, maybe they're concerned about that.
You know, yeah, I don't know. Or could it be for someone else's protection, if they exist? And I say if they exist, I do believe that there are camps like that. I just don't know where they are, or I don't have any personal knowledge of them.
Well, I got to tell you, these are very interesting times. They're, you know, the old saying, these are the best of times, the worst of times. And sometimes I think, Douglas, in spite of things like 9/11, I'm not sure we've seen the worst of times yet.
I totally agree with you. I think that the worst of times are coming down the road. And I think that if you just look at the world stage, in my personal estimation, and again, of course, I'm nothing special. The people that comprise our network are experts, and they've got a whole lot of experience and intelligence, a lot more than I could ever pretend to have. They're looking at a very, very, essentially what the consensus is this is going to get very ugly very soon. Starting with any type of attack or any type of antagonistic attack against Iraq, the nuclear reactors there. And for what it's worth, we have concluded, based on all of the evidence, and then I think we could probably make a case in court that Iran already has the nuclear missiles, the nuclear capabilities. They've got the warhead or warheads and the missiles, the delivery systems to use. Now, if again, these are based on government intelligence reports that are some are classified, some are declassified. So I think that situation is going to get extremely ugly. And then when you bring into the throw into the mix the Temple Mount situation, the Israeli situation there. You get into, you know, as a Christian, I look at this kind of like biblical prophecy, and I'm thinking, boy, you know, this could very well get ugly and it could go south very quickly.
No doubt about that. Is there anything that is going on right now that we as Americans should be really concerned about right now, today?
Well, I think... boy, that's a difficult question to answer because, you know, for 2-3 years we've been saying, you know, it's not looking good. There's rumors of attacks. There's this and there's that. So it kind of makes a person gun shy to say, I'd be careful to go to Chicago because, you know, or New Orleans or what, you know, pick a city. But I think what we're looking at here is, I think it's a little bit more sinister than that. I think that for decades and hopefully the people will understand when I say the sinister nature of this. I think for decades we've been seeing a planned operation in progress, an infiltration of people who are not our friends in key government, key private installations, key positions, for instance, within the, just to give you an example, into the... like a nuclear reactor, the water supplies, the military. I think we're seeing an infiltration, an insinuation of our enemies into these areas to such an extent that when things start going bad, when the commands are given, and that phrase is trite, but when operations begin, I think that these people will be in a position to... really screw up our infrastructure. So I think what we have to be looking at is the enemy within, in addition to the most obvious threats from the outside.
Well, Douglas, these are going to be really, I think, some tense times for all of us. And let's hope, and I think, again, one thing that concerns you and me and so many other people, there are people out there that are making a small fortune on the misery of this whole situation. And that bothers me.
Absolutely. I'm not sure about specifics, which you might be referring to, but definitely, you know, when you're talking about...
I'll be specific with some companies that are getting no contract bids.
Oh, absolutely.
And things like that.
That bothers me, too. I mean, you know, we've got... In private industry, I've never heard of that, a no-contract bid. I mean, I've never heard of the ability for a company to go in. Exactly. You're exactly correct. There's a lot of profit, profits being made by people that shouldn't be making them, that are also having their hand in the decision process of our military assets. And that's very sinister and evil, too. Absolutely.
Yep. And the fact that some of these companies are directly related to people who are in positions of power to make things happen, that bothers me, too.
Absolutely.
And then when you look at everything, then, you try to look at a picture, and I'm looking at it in two distinct different pictures, and this is what is so baffling to me and to millions of other Americans. There is a part of me that wants to be so convinced that this quest to get terrorists is so real that we have to do it, we have to go after them, we have to destroy them. Then there's another part of me that says, who created the terrorists? You know, what group of people who are so manipulative, so power-hungry, just created episodes so that terrorism could flourish, turn their eyes, turn their cheeks when they knew things were going to happen? And we've got information that clearly shows we were aware of 9/11. We just didn't do anything. That bothers me. And I think this country is divided right down the middle, and there are camps on both sides.
It bothers me, too. I think that to politicize the terrorist events of 9/11 and before is unconscionable. I think that you're correct. I think America is split down the middle. Republican, Democrat, Independent, it should have no bearing on this at all. I would like to think, and I believe, I know there are a lot of good first responders, the people in the field, field agents for the intelligence agencies who are patriotic Americans, who are true Americans. But then, you know, you have to wonder, the people behind the desk, the people that are calling the shots, you have to wonder their motivation and true intentions. I think that there is obviously some duplicity there, not necessarily everywhere, but in some certain areas that, and I think that's what's so confusing. You know, if quite frankly, when we look at certain events and we're confused by them, there's always,
God help us all, Douglas, if they're using us for personal gain. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take phone calls for 1 hour with Douglas Hagman right here on Coast to Coast AM.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now.